What country did this car from?
It no longer exists, but take her for a test drive, and you'll agree. Zagreb Zlotik je.
Hello and welcome to Put an H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the bloody hell are you?
Very well, Terry. Very well. And how the bloody hell are you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it. Always.
Yes, sir. Now, I'm going to say something. I listened back to our episodes last week, and guys out there, I want to apologize. I feel like I was very low energy. Okay,
you think you were low energy?
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely.
On the AEW show?
Yeah, on everything.
You talked through the you carried that show. I was the low energy one in that one.
Oh, Andy, stop.
And I had low energy.
No, but I mean, I you know what I was missing? I was missing my usual level of bombast that I tried to bring.
As I recall, though, you had a precarious baby sleeping situation
did,
as well.
I did. And, you know, it had been a long weekend, and then just as we thought we were kind of back onto a good track, literally as we were recording, the baby was screaming her head off upstairs, calling for daddy, daddy.
You're so you know,
it's not easy. But she's asleep right now, and Andy, I've got a glass of wine in my hand. So happy Wednesday, everybody out there. Since you asked, it's a 2020 Riesling, a German Riesling from
2020.
Aldi. It's bloody delicious, Andy.
Does that not mean it's... I don't know wine, but does that not mean that it's terrible wine if it's only last year?
No, it doesn't. If it was in 1890, it's probably a really good wine. But there can be good wines that are recent as well.
Okay,
you should get into wine and we can do like a Fraser Niles style wine club.
I can't drink it.
White?
White is fine.
Yeah.
Red... I don't really
I can't drink red. If I drink red, I have to chug it. Like, and I don't like it then. I'm like, oh.
The only time I enjoy red wine is actually, it's funny because normally whenever I go to dinner, like for my dad's or something like that, back when I was like a little bit younger and wasn't driving, and they'd always have red wine, and I'd always have a little taste. I'm like, yeah, that's nice. And then I had red wine in other places, and I'm like, oh, this is terrible.
Oh, your dad has the good shit.
Dad's got the good shit, I'm sure. Yeah. But
he's got the hookup.
But yeah, but now, Terry, since you asked, I am back on the monster train.
A monster.
Ultra black. Black.
So yeah. Impossibly black.
I wish the can wasn't so aggressive.
I mean, you know what you're getting with monster.
Oh,
folks.
It's red. Well, it's not ultra black then, is it? Cherry.
Ultra black
cherry
currant.
Flavored.
Hmm.
Okay. I came up.
That was good.
Very good. I'll take it.
I'll take it. You'll give it to me.
I came up to bed after the podcast last week, and I was fucking wired. And Kerry was like, you know, half asleep. Yeah. I'm coming up. I'm making loads of noise. I'm talking to her. I'm being being.
It's Andy. Andy Cantwell.
From downstairs. And it must have been the monster. It must have been taurine I had.
Is there taurine in that? It's not good for the heart.
Isn't it?
Nope. That's why you don't drink Red Bull, Andy.
Huh. It's not good for the heart.
Nope.
Just like that, huh?
Yeah, just like that.
Straight up.
Knocks 5 years off your life immediately.
My eye has been very twitchy today. I don't think that's going to help. Anyway.
How many coffees have you had?
Three.
Too many.
What, three too many?
It's too many.
They're all three before midday, though. I don't drink coffee after midday.
Means nothing.
It does. It's got an 8-hour fucking life.
Yeah, whatever.
Listen,
it's too many.
You don't even drink hot beverages. You can't be talking to me about hot beverages.
I had...
Did you get that, folks? He doesn't drink any hot beverages.
I eat a hot soup.
Yeah. Oh.
Chicken soup for lunch today.
I fucking hate soup as well.
Andy,
I don't like any meal you eat with a spoon.
There's nothing better than a good soup. They did a whole episode about it on Seinfeld.
There's loads of things better than a good soup.
Like, the soup I have in work makes me feel... It's the closest I think I'll come to the soup in Seinfeld, where it's like, I got to sit down eating this.
You know, what kind is it, out of interest?
It's a different one every day. I had a chicken one today. It was delicious. Hmm. A lot of times... Here's a good one for you.
Go on.
Sweet potato and coriander.
Okay, I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Yeah. Yeah, they got an old-fashioned veg is good. Now, I would say the tomato and basil ones would be least favourite. But
tell you, tomato soup, Terry, can get to fuck. That's something else.
It repeats on you all day, doesn't it?
Yeah, like, that's something else. That's that's a different category.
Anyway, soup's great.
Just put a lid on that.
put a lid on your soup.
What have you been up to, friend?
I went to the cinema at the weekend.
Get out.
Yeah.
What did you go see?
I went to see Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings.
It looks good.
It's pretty good, Andy.
Yeah?
It's pretty good.
You've got a wry smile on your face there.
I enjoyed it because it's different.
It looks a bit different. Crouching Tiger-y.
There's a bit of wuxia in it. It made me want to go watch Crouching Tiger. The action is very good. Like, the martial arts hand-to-hand stuff is very, very good.
Now, I feel like you're holding something back on me.
There's about 20 minutes in the middle of it where I'm like, we're just selling toys here, Kev? Like, what are we doing?
Right.
What are we doing here, Kevin? Like, you're grinding me to a halt. I was like, actually being like, I'm really enjoying this. And then it takes this weird chunk in it without giving any spoilers. But it's like, they introduce some character and it's like, well, there's the cuddly toy for Christmas. And then it kind of gets back in. And by the end of it, you're like, I've never seen... It's like no Marvel movie, kind of, that you're doing. And it's fucking...
Different.
It's full on, like... I don't know, like... Fantasy, almost, like...
Mm.
Which is good.
Yeah,
so I enjoyed it, I have to say.
Okay.
I
wish we could talk more about it. I gotta watch it myself.
We will soon. We actually, Black Widow hasn't been released on Disney Plus yet, is it?
No.
We gotta do that on the Patreon as soon as rip that Band-Aid off. Well, we'll do What If when it finishes.
I knew it was bad.
Well, just seeing Shang-Chi, I was like, okay.
It's the Falcon and the Winter Soldier of the Phase 4 movies so far.
I mean, there's only been two. I just enjoyed this one an awful lot more. I just enjoy this one. Maybe it's just because it's a bit more original.
Yeah.
And the humor. I mean, I like the guy. I like Shang-Chi. The guy playing him is good. Yeah. You know, he's got a nice face. He's got a nice face. And then you got Tony Leung there, who's like...
Oh.
You won't know him, but he's...
I don't know him.
He's a very handsome Asian man.
All right, well, now I've got to Google him. What's his name?
Tony Leung, L-E-U-N-G.
Let's see.
You can't tell me that guy isn't smouldering without trying.
He is handsome. He's a bit old.
Hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, he's definitely handsome.
But he
smouldering, I don't know. And you know I love to compliment men's looks. I don't know about
smoldering.
But maybe
in the movie. In the movie, he does a lot of...
Smolder.
Stare, raise, and then a little raise of the eyebrows. You're like, ooh, okay. So he can do a lot of emoting without speaking. I thought, and he's very good.
Okay,
so
very good.
And you actually got Michelle Yeoh from Crouching Tiger in it as well.
Ah, excellent. So, who directed that joint?
Some guy I'd never heard of.
Okay,
but he did a good job.
Typical Marvel, eh? Getting the unknown to.
Yeah, but like the way he directs it is actually like. Wide shots so you can see the action, two people standing kind of like Tekken or Street Fighter, whatever way you want to, you know, like it's that wide
so
shot.
It's
you're
not
like,
just like one shot, two shot, Transformer style.
Exactly. It's like it lets it flow a lot of the time.
Because they've actually got talent in the fighting scenes.
I think the guy that did the choreography was the American guy that actually took over Jackie Chan's fight choreography team.
Right.
So I think he was the only American to ever do it, and he took over the whole team. I think he did it, but he passed away before the movie came out.
Hmm.
It's good.
Any predictions or like estimations from Hollywood as to how this is performed or how it
overperformed for like the Delta times? It was like. Right. 71 million in its opening weekend, and they're like, oh, this is crap compared to the recent Marvels.
Yeah,
but it outgrossed like the first Thor, first Captain America, you know.
Right.
So it's I think if it wasn't Delta times, it would have been a bigger hit. And to be honest, there's not going to be an awful lot more out there. So probably the only thing, if people do want to go, they'll probably still keep going.
It's a movie, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think Black Widow dropped off like 70% after its first weekend. It made like 85, 90 million, and then it was like 12 million the next weekend. Because
the whole production has left a rather sour taste in the mouths of everyone involved, really, it seems like.
And all for this character that nobody really wanted.
Let's face it.
Yeah. But like, it's like, oh, it's the first female. It's like, give that distinction to somebody else. Or do the Black Widow movie like 5 years ago.
Wasn't Captain Marvel like a female?
Oh, yeah, sorry. You know. She's technically a female, I guess.
Look at me correcting you, the blue-haired goon on movie trivia, huh?
What?
Huh?
That's terrible. First of all, this is green air. I got another to work with.
One of the funniest lines in the Simpsons.
Love it.
Me.
And his reaction is like, the blue hair again. He's like, huh? Just a scrunch up of the face. Look, it's been a rough week for celebrity deaths, Andy.
Mm-hmm. Sure
has. Last week, Omar. This week.
Yeah.
Third Ferguson, a.k.a. Norm. McDonald, and I've just been going through so many clips of him. I don't know. Yeah. I think you were saying you never got it.
Yeah, like he's one of these guys. I even like when he was alive, like you'd always hear people, other comedians, talk so highly of him and like really like almost in awe of him. I just never saw it. If I'm being honest, like, you know, I knew him first from like Billy Madison.
Yeah.
And like, you know, a few of those kind of movies. And
Dirty Work. Please tell me you've seen Dirty Work.
I don't think, no. Oh, wait, Emilio Estevez and...
No, that's Men at Work.
Okay.
Dirty Work is Norm.
I think
it's Artie Lang as well. And they play like brothers. See, Chris Farley is in it.
Ooh.
There's a whole thing where it's like... So? There's a great clip on YouTube where you can find it. It's from the movie, but it's like, oh, we're gonna, Norm's like, yeah, we're gonna fight. And he's like, and they're in a bar. And then it's like, Chris Farley's like, time to put on some fight music. He's like, G7. He's like, you press G8. And it's like, oh! And it kicks into like the Pina Colada song. And then a big brawl breaks out to the Pina Colada song. It's like, I love this movie. It's a great
movie.
There was something
about, I don't know if this will even translate as funny, but I remember when we were a kid, what was that Chris Farley movie where he
Almost had... Heroes.
Is that the
is
one
it with Matthew Perry?
No, I don't know, but it was one where he keeps trying to like steal an egg from
the eagle. Yeah. Yeah.
And I just remember it, like, I remember Sean, friend of the show, Sean, was on the phone, I think to his girlfriend or something at the time. And like a few of us were, it was just on the TV silent because Sean was on the phone, and it just kept going. Like every 2 minutes he was back at this nest and he'd go to take the egg and you'd see the eagle flying and it cut to his face like, arr! And for whatever reason, it was because it was muted, it was like the funniest thing we'd ever seen.
It's something about that face. God, yeah. another one. I know, but it's whatever, 30 years ago at this stage. But,
yeah. But yeah, with Norm, I have to admit, like, maybe it was because his character in Billy Madison kind of bugged me, and I just sort of associated him with that throughout. But I wasn't that familiar with his other work, to be honest. So I feel like I'm missing out on something here. Because
he's a great talk show guest. They talk about him being the greatest talk show guest of all time. Like, yeah. I've been spending like commute going through YouTube clips of him. There's a great one with him on Conan talking about the people are like, it's his best one. Go watch him tell the moth joke.
Right.
It's a great one. There's a clip of him on Comedy Central that's been going around Twitter on the Bob Saget roast.
I've seen a bit of that today,
it's,
yeah.
It's him deliberately bombing.
Is that what that is?
Yeah,
because even that, I was like, I'm not getting this. Like,
thought it was really funny because you could just see all the comedians cracking up, and the audience don't really know, like, what
it's
to
so
be doing.
Like, low.
This man is for the birds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cloris, if people say you're over the hill, don't believe them. Why, you'll never be over the hill, not in the car you drive. Greg Giraldo is here. He has the grace of a swan, the wisdom of an owl, and the eye of an eagle. Ladies and gentlemen, this man is for the birds. Susie Essman, of course, is famous for being a vegetarian. Hey, she may be a vegetarian, but she's still full of baloney in my book.
I almost like for the birds, or like, you know, they're repeated the next time. It's sad.
But it
like,
is sad.
9 years, he had cancer and didn't tell anybody, or like, you know, was able to like.
Wow. I seen the quote battle. Of him of his about cancer of like, if I die, the cancer dies. So technically, it's a draw.
Yeah,
I don't lose.
There's a lot of like great Norm quotes.
Yeah,
being out there, like, and I just like, you know, I hate being on Twitter and you see like somebody being like, oh fuck, and you read underneath, and you're like, oh man, like, not. Yeah. I know it's part of life and stuff, but like,
I know. Or you not just see someone's trending and you're like, oh, what?
What now? Like, what are they trending for? Did they murder somebody or rape somebody or are they dead? Like,
it's not going to be positive, whatever it is.
Yeah. What about you, friend? Anything?
I tell you, I started watching the new series of American Horror Story, the first two episodes. It's not that good, to be honest.
Was it ever good?
Yeah, for a period it was all right. It was pretty good.
You're a big AHS house, aren't you?
I think Kerry's well into it. I'm kind of semi into it. But yeah,
I don't know. You know what? I do like that he has his repertory players, you know, his same cast of characters.
Yeah, the cast are always good. And your man from Mayor of Easttown is in it a lot.
Which one?
The
Peters? Cop. Evan?
Yeah.
Zobel?
Zobel.
God rest his soul.
I know. Oh, shocking moments.
I knew as soon as he picked up that coffee mug, no good was going to come from this.
I should have known when they had a kiss right before they went in. I'm like, oh, well.
That's how they do it. Sorry, spoilers from Mayor of Easttown, folks.
The only other thing, like I was saying to you, and you're probably sick of me talking about it, but season two of that podcast, Our Thing, came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I am captivated.
You text me the link for some. Is it a movie or what is it?
Yeah,
like?
I don't really know what it is. See, you've got Sammy the Bull Gravano, right, on one side,
and Michael Francis.
Yes, right. Now, Sammy I got the it Bull right. Is a great story. He's an amazing storyteller, right? Michael Francis does these things like Mob Movie Mondays, and he talks about like how real it is. And but he's
the
also
guy
like
you were
speaker.
Talking about that. It's like. You wouldn't actually do it this way or whatever.
Yeah, you know, something like that. But they were both like made guys back in like the 80s. And they both kind of like, you know, Sammy the Bull snitched in like, because he heard a tape of
John
Gotti about to give him up. So he went to the feds with that. And Michael
Francis.
You an
FBI informant?
Yeah, and Michael Francis did something, got with a girl who was like super Christian or something like that, and went in. But like, Sammy the Bull was like, I don't believe a word of this. He's like, he cooperated. He says he never got anyone in jail, but he cooperated. Anyway, long story short, I listened to both these podcasts, and everyone in the comments was always like, you two guys have to have a sit down. And like, they kind of half mentioned it or whatever. And I figured it was just going to be like, oh, just on some podcast, they'll get together and have a chat. And like, they were from different families. Like, one was from the Columbo family, the other one was from the Gambino family. So I was like, I wonder if they'd get on. But then it's this super high production thing where it's them two.
Who's the guy?
He's the host of some other podcast. I don't really know who he is.
They got fucking Giuliani.
Rudy Giuliani. I don't know how he wrangled himself.
Please, I'm broke. You gotta give me this job.
But I see this trailer, and I was saying to you, like, it was the first time in a long time I'd seen something, and afterwards I was like, ah. Because they were like, there were scenes of them getting in each other's face and all, and I was like, oh, I have to see this. I'm so excited to see this.
It's called Mafia. Just take my money.
Like, it could cost whatever. I'm like, I'm seeing this, whatever it is. I don't know why I'm so into it, like this Mafia stuff lately. But
are you gonna go see the new Sopranos?
Yeah, I probably will.
Movie, yeah. That's, yeah, probably will. I mean, and that's a stacked cast. Well, my boy is in it.
Who's in it?
Bernthal.
Who?
John Bernthal.
I don't know who that is.
He's the guy from Walking Dead, Shane. He was in The Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, of course.
He's playing Tony's father.
Oh, very good.
And you got, you know, James Gandolfini's son playing Tony, which is...
Oh, cool.
Crazy, but...
That's mad.
Yeah, and then... yeah, there's actually it's really
supposed
good.
To be good.
I mean, it looks good. It looks really good. David Chase wrote it. Like,
oh, very
the,
good.
One of the directors from The Sopranos is directing it. Now, cards on the table, he did also direct Thor: The Dark World, so...
Ooh.
But... I've heard him talk about
Strike.
Strike 2 was Terminator Genesis, and he was like, I realized that these big studio movies weren't for me. Like I was a cog in the machine, whereas he's like, I felt more at home working with David Chase and, you know, in something more real. But it looks really good.
Do you have anything else to discuss before
I got two.
Okay.
One is I found a fantastic little show, and I'd heard about it, called Kevin Can Go Fuck Himself.
Okay.
I'd heard about it, and it's recently been added to Amazon Prime. Did you ever watch Schitt's Creek?
I seen the first like two episodes.
Yeah, you got to get past that. Like, first of all, it's very good, but it's a slow start.
Right.
But the daughter from Schitt's Creek is the main star of this. Okay. And it is based on. It's essentially after King of Queens, Kevin James had a sitcom called Kevin Can Wait.
Right.
Have you heard of that before? No,
I think I might have heard of that. Yeah.
It's like he's like a retired firefighter. It's just King of Queens. Essentially, and it's his wife in it. I think at the end of the first season, they killed her off. They killed off the wife. The wife is a very funny actress. Erin Hayes is her name. Right. She was in Children's Hospital and I think it's like Medical Police. Is that the spin-off they did on Netflix? Good shows.
All right.
I've shown you some Children's Hospital. It's fucking crazy. It's great.
Oh, like, yeah. So
the people who made this show were like, this is fucking bullshit. Like, he killed off the wife character and replaced her with Leia Remini from King of Queens.
Right, yeah.
And then the show got cancelled after two seasons. It was crap. But they called the show Kevin Can Go Fuck Himself. And it's essentially, it's a sitcom, right?
Yeah.
She, Annie Murphy, is the main character, the girl from Schitt's Creek, is married to this guy, Kevin McRoberts, right. And they live in Worcester, Massachusetts. And it's essentially King of Queens, right? He's a cable guy. He's a cable delivery guy. He has his idiot brother and his father. And it's very stupidly funny. And then when she leaves the room, it's all bright colors when it's and canned laughter. And then when she leaves the room or gets out of Kevin's way, when she's not around Kevin, all the color drops out. It's real life. It kind of reminds you of like the way Breaking Bad looked.
Huh.
And it's like she fucking hates her life. She's with this horrible man that like doesn't respect her or treat her like that. So somehow, and this show shouldn't work. Yeah. In that,
I'm looking at it here.
Like the way they get the sitcom stuff so brilliant. Like in that, like this is what sitcom. You know, Ray Romano, Kevin James, whatever. Yeah. That whole put upon wife genre of sitcom.
Huh.
Like they get all that so right, and then. But also it gives you the extra layer of like when you're looking at it, like she's being tortured here, like she's miserable, and her performance is like, well, you know, Kev, you know, not everybody, or you know, something like that, and like the canned laughter is happening when she's, you know, saying this, and then when she leaves it, you're like, this poor woman, I just want her to be happy, you know, I want her to get her just desserts.
Did you say this? Did you say this is on any...
It's on Prime Video. I would highly recommend watching it. It's really interesting. And it's when they're doing the sitcom stuff, it's really funny because you're like, this is so stupid. But
what's
the
split between sitcom stuff and real stuff per episode?
I would say 60-40, 70-30 to the real stuff as opposed to the sitcom stuff.
Right.
But even the real stuff is like really interesting. Like there was a scene where she meets up with like an old friend and she's like, I just need, you know, I need somebody to talk. And they're having the conversation and then he kind of starts to like give her not advice but like just kind of push back and she's like, no, I don't want to, you know, I just wanted to come to talk. And he's like, did you want to come to talk or did you just want somebody to like listen to you and smile and nod, like I'm telling you, you know, something that you need to hear. And she's like, forget it, like, and she kind of walks away and you're like, oh, she's also a more complicated character than, you know, what is led on to be this woman who's put upon.
Now that's one that I may actually check out.
I think you would like it, and
it sounds like it's got something going for it there. But something original, you know.
It's very original, and like the whole idea of I couldn't get over like how well they get the sitcom stuff down. Yeah. And your man portraying the Kevin James, like he's like a fucking, you know, a copy of him. The guy doing it is so good, and I don't know what else I've seen him, but he's like. He's this kind of like potato man with like.
I looked at a picture of him and he does look like a potato man.
Yeah, like what he's and like the fact that it's Boston and it's like, come on, Han. Like it's like Peter Griffin, like almost like come to life. It's really good.
Okay,
we're two or three episodes in, and I'm very both much loving it.
Yeah. Both liking it.
Both liking it. Yes.
Okay.
For now, we'll see.
All right.
All right then, and what last thing. Last thing I want to mention is I bought a Switch. Nintendo's Switch. Fucking hell, Andy. Brilliant. Bought Mario Kart Deluxe 8 or 8 Brilliant. Deluxe, whatever. It is still the most fun and most frustrating game of all time.
Yeah.
But it's so much fun. So much fun.
So great.
Really, Brilliant. Really good. But I also signed up for, because I was like, I really want to get the new Zelda game, but.
Yeah.
It's expensive, you know, and payday like is not till the end of the month. I found a place where I could get it for 45. Okay. New. That's not too bad.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. But they have this little thing you could sign up for. I think it's £20 for the year. I did like a 7-day free trial. And you can get old Super Nintendo games on it.
Oh, cool.
So I'm currently working my way through The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past. Possibly my favorite game ever.
Brilliant.
Fantastic. So even just down memory lane. The music, like...
I think the music is so important. Particularly in those in those older retro games. Like I'd say some certain games that didn't stand the test of time would have done if they had like a certain composer or whoever.
I often think about like people composing scores for video games.
Yeah.
They're fucking amazing. Like we grew up with some, like we always talk about it, Mario, Sonic, like some fantastic ones. You always gone into Final, when you're getting into the next one, like Final Fantasy.
And that's the thing, like I was shit at Final Fantasy VII, but I just love the world and particularly the music. Like you can get, like I remember like my cousin Newman had like a 4 CD like thing back when they had those double CD cases, like disc 1 to 4 of Final Fantasy VII music, and it was amazing. It was all, and then you have all these piano renditions, and the guy who actually
live. I remember you playing the live version for us.
Yeah, he's like, got some like metal band who plays Final Fantasy songs as well. The Black Mages, they're called, and it's like proper just heavy. Anyway, but the whole thing is just that video game like feel, and that's I think why like. I've gotten really into like my sort of lo-fi chill stuff, and I particularly love the retro sounding, like, you know, I don't know what the term is for it, like 8-bit something, you know, something like that. I just love that sound, you know what I mean, like from those Zelda games or from like, whatever.
There's certain Mario themes that are like burned into my brain. Mm-hmm. Like I remember one time, again, I don't know how long me and Fairy went out. I met her after work and I had like my work clothes and my school bag on. And at one point, like I was hunched over, it was a red bag. And she was like, you look like a turtle, like from Mario. And then I just sat going like, da 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 da. da, 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 da. Like, as soon as I heard Turtle and Mario, like, I couldn't stop myself from being like, you know, it's just like, that's a synaptic response.
It's so it is just burned into our brain. And I think Mario has the best ones, because Mario has like all of the level, even like, you know, like the sea level. Every level was amazing. Now, yeah. I have to say, Sonic had some...
They did have some bangers.
Green Hill Zone was a banger. Now you're talking.
So many to choose from.
Shredding absolutely.
That's what I'd love to go see, a gig of, you know,
yeah, all that
your
shit.
Your favorite SNES, Mario and Sonic.
It's got to exist somewhere.
So there has to be some band that's doing it. If and not, I, why not?
I have, yeah, exactly. And I have to say, the older I get, the more I actually love the whole brand of Nintendo. You know what I mean? I scoffed at it as a kid. And I just love the Nintendo. I'm sure, you know.
I was always a Nintendo's man, but
yeah, you were.
I was still on the fence. Like, what is there enough games for me? And then I was like, Mario Kart, Zelda, Donkey Kong Country. Mm-hmm. Then there's Mario Odyssey. There's Mario also Odyssey another. There's good. Another 3D Mario thing there. I'll
tell you what you want to get. Mario Party's coming out soon.
Yeah, but it's just me and Faye, like, you know?
True.
Mario Party was great on the 64 when there was four of us and it was 2 in the morning and we had imbibed and inhaled a bunch of substances, you know, like...
Very true.
WarioWare, like...
WarioWare was great.
WarioWare, I felt like I was having... I don't want to say a major panic attack, but some sort of minor...
A minor one.
Yeah, or, you know, something was happening with my brain that shouldn't... Why am I short-circuiting so much?
Yeah, it was too, like, I don't know what it was. Like, it was fast. The velocity.
Yeah, but it was like, there was no break. It was like, what? You know, like, straight away.
My palm is killing me from twisting this pad like this.
Oh, God.
Remember that?
Yeah.
But,
great
stuff. Have the Switch, good. Now.
I'm delighted with it. I'm very glad. Happy.
So, I feel like I got a Switch.
Well, you didn't.
Well, in a way, I did. You know?
Well, you didn't.
Yeah, that's right, I did.
Yeah.
Listen, Terry.
I'm finished.
31 minutes into the preamble. Can I talk to you about The Simpsons, please?
I guess.
Now... As I'm talking, I realize that I haven't looked up any of the stats for this episode. But I can tell you, Terry, that it is the 21st episode of Season 8, airing on April 20th, 1997.
I don't know why I bother.
Directed by Mark Kirkland and written by John Swartzwelder, making a reappearance. The writing staff.
Have you checked the score?
It was 1-0 last I checked. What is it? What is it? Hang on. Sal, I missed a penno and everything.
Yes, indeed.
That's fine. That's fine. Not like your lads, eh?
With the exact score as my lads.
Yeah, that's how it finished, though, isn't it? I mean, it was only someone in work today was telling me that, like, oh, Ronaldo was taken off for Lingard and Lingard gave the ball away.
I was like, oh, this is shit, but whatever. And then it was like, literally, I was like, oh! like, what are you doing? Like, he's passing, like, not looking, like, right, like, on the penalty spot.
But they're shy. He'll miss, though.
Like, oh. No, it's like, you're not going to miss from here. It's like, on the penalty spot, like, one-on-one with De Gea. And I was like, looking at it, I was like, who was that?
give me your names so I can tell the police.
So, you know, but I think, like, we won the lap at halftime. Solskjaer panicked and shit the bed, if I'm honest.
He shit the bed a lot in Europe, I was reading today. His stats, he's like, out of 11, he's lost like 7.
Misleading, though, because...
And not because they were sucker punch, but they were demonstrably outplayed.
His first game was PSG in the quarterfinals. So those are two games, right? Mm-hmm. And then the next six...
This is Manchester United we're talking about here.
Yeah, but it's present day.
This is Manchester United Football Club we're talking about here.
Who are you supposed to be? Carragher?
No, it's a bit of Neville, but I don't know.
That's supposed to be Neville?
This is Manchester United Football Club. That was a bit there.
I'm still hearing Carragher.
No, Carragher would be like, Manchester United Football Club.
The sucking of the cheeks is very good.
And you see what I'm talking about? There.
What was he saying? Yeah, the there.
And you just, and if I just stop it, there.
I do enjoy the two of them. They're very good.
I do. And I see some people giving them kind of shit online. I've been like, oh, unwatchable. But like most, like,
You're going to watch Rio Ferdinand and Steve.
Yeah, who else are you going to watch?
I fucking hate Rio Ferdinand. Or Schmeichel fucking going on these days.
There comes a point where those old legends, so you start to be like, shut up.
You know? I never got it with Rio. Like, there's certain ones that are good. Like, even with Keno,
love Keno.
Yeah, but he's not going to give you the most tactically astute thing. But he'd be like, that if that was, you know, somebody on my team, I'd be letting fucking roar at him here. What is he doing turning his back? Or like, he's jogging here, whatever. Your fundamentals there. Like, the tactical stuff, I think Neville and Carragher are pretty good at it.
They're always pretty spot on.
Like, BBC, I kind of have grown to like Alan Shearer.
I quite like, you know what, I've always kind of liked Alan Shearer. You know,
War Owl.
But like, I've seen old Carragher and Lineker having a bit of a ding-dong on Twitter. And to be fair, I kind of like, I mean, I know you'll say, of course I'm siding with him, but I kind of side with Carragher on it, because it's like...
But the stats are wrong.
Yeah, but like, it just seemed like, you know, because Carragher was making the point like, we would never point out a flaw on your show, even though you read from auto cues, or he reads from an auto cue. And then like...
But it's his... See, that this is the big difference as well.
Yeah.
Gary Lineker's job is different to Jamie Carragher's job.
True, he's not
Gary Lineker is David Jones equivalent. A much better version of David. Mm. Like, Gary Lineker is the best at his job in football, yeah. I like Gary Lineker. I think he's the fucking best. I always think back to like when Sven had taken over Man City. He'd just finished the England job and City had won their first game and they were top of the league. And it was like, you know, he does his sign off for Match of the Day and he's like,
yeah,
Sven Goran Eriksson for the England job? Little wink and a smile. I was like, good night. You know, you're like, yes, Gary. He just left the job under, like, you know, a cloud of everything. You're like,
right.
you cannot teach that. Like,
yeah, he's good.
He's great. Good. Anyway, you know, sorry what, for interrupting you.
I just didn't. I like the two of them, so I kind of like, it's like, I don't like to see them arguing on Twitter. I'd like them to be friends.
Mom, Dad,
please stop. Anyway, sorry.
Back no, to I'm business. Sorry. I'm sorry to the folks out there as well.
The
came here for the Simpsons content.
Did they? It's based on a story idea pitched by DX Cohen.
Oh.
Although it was written by John Swartzwelder, who had written many Simpsons episodes that have environmental themes.
I saw his name on it and I was like, yeah, it kind of makes sense. But I also got the impression, and I remember the last couple of Swartzwelder ones that we looked at, that it's not a pure Swartzwelder.
Yeah, it's a diluted.
Yeah, like
Swartzwelder. Yeah,
I think that his one's all off because he's very, very funny. But this one seems like you can tell which parts are his and which parts
are
like rewritten or whatever.
He was called the conscience of the staff, despite being a self-declared anti-environmentalist.
What?
The staff felt that he would give these episodes just the right amount of sarcasm. In the original script for the episode, he described the recycling center as a couple of hippies surrounded by garbage.
Uriah's Heap.
Yeah. Alternate original titles were Cohen's Lisa and Burns and Swartzwelder's Burns Goes Broke.
I think Old Man and the Lisa is pretty good, though.
Yeah, I think so, too. The writers had wanted an episode where Burns becomes bankrupt and shows what he'd be like as a person in the real world. The idea with the recycling plant was that Burns did not have any sort of evil plan. He just could not help being himself.
Yeah.
Burns really was trying to change, and this was reflected in the end when he tried to give Lisa the share of the profits.
Oh boy.
The staff joked about this being a suitable series finale due to the episode ending with Homer suffering from another heart attack after learning what 10% of 120
series finale it could have been like.
Yeah. And then the last thing, Bret Hart starred as himself. He was very insistent to be shown wearing his pink wrestling outfit. He explained, it's so cool to be part of a show that has... No, I kind of lost it. Part of a show that makes people laugh really, really hard. How was that?
You know, it was kind of okay, Andy.
You know what? The you know was dead on. Then something creeped in.
You know something, McMahon. Well,
Jesse?
Yeah. I was going for Jesse then.
Okay, good.
I would just like to say, Bret Hart was a good friend of mine. And I lost it there at the end.
I would just like to express my fondness for that.
God, though.
Those lizard self-aware.
Yeah, that's it. Like, I'm not in the moment. Yeah, I'm
thinking, holy shit, I'm nailing this.
Give me another wrestler.
Give me Shawn Michaels.
Well, the Heartbreak Kid has just stolen hearts. I don't know. Some of those sunny days, Hitman. Not bad.
Sean? Is that you? Go on, give me one more.
I'll give you Triple H?
Well,
the game is here.
Austin.
Oh, that's not bad.
Thank you.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
Just do this.
Yeah. What do we do? 90 minutes of this. A movie.
We can do our own version of the trip.
Yeah, absolutely. We do a trip around Ireland.
Just doing accents.
I'll get on to Michael Winterbottom right now.
Awesome. Get on to
I saw The Wedding Guest. I loved it. Don't listen to a podcast before I talk about it. And how about you just follow us around? Put us up in hotels.
Last thing I'll say about the episode, it got a Nielsen rating of 8.3, equivalent to 8.1 million viewing households. The authors of our favorite book that we haven't read, I can't believe it's a bigger and better updated unofficial Simpsons guide, called it an odd episode with a not too unexpected outcome. The best bits are undoubtedly Burns learning his way around a supermarket and Lisa's realization of what Burns has been up to.
Now, Andy, I have to pull you up on something here.
Go on.
You keep mentioning that we've never read that book, and look, I'm going to rip this bandaid off now. I have read it as a child.
What?
Yes. Maybe I read the original. Maybe I read the original.
You didn't read the updated.
Maybe not. It only went up to the end of season 8. So is this the season finale of...
Have you been knowing that?
I've been sitting on it. I've been sitting on it.
Why wouldn't you say that? I wouldn't care. Why wouldn't you tell me season 4?
I'm sorry, Andy.
I'm sorry, Christy. I choked.
I choked. You choked. Yeah, because the last one in the book is the one with my man, Willem Dafoe.
Okay.
The Secret War of Lisa Simpson, and I can't fucking wait to get to that.
I can
episode.
See it in your face.
Yeah.
Shall we get into the okay, Jerry. Back up off the camera, please. Shall we get into notes?
Your notes.
Sure. Yeah. My first note is now as well, cards on the table. Which we like
you
to
didn't
say
rewatch it?
No, I didn't rewatch it.
I watched it twice.
I watched it 2 weeks ago.
And I rewatched it.
And I've forgotten all of it. So my notes I'll be reading for the first time.
You're like, what am I saying?
My first note is Colonel Blair. From the TV show they were watching. What was that?
So it was Marge wakes up with her hair, you know, half in. And she goes downstairs and it's like, Colonel Dracula goes to the Navy, or Dracula joins the Navy, and Bart and Homer are sitting in front of the TV asleep. It's like 6 in the morning and that's on the TV.
I love that you just hear it in the background. Yeah. Like, it's not like even a feature of the episode. You just, like, you might miss it.
We now return to, I love that about The Simpsons. We now return to this.
Yeah, whatever it is.
My next. And I love how Bart and Homer just kind of get up and, like, Marge doesn't say, like, what are you guys doing here? They just get up and, like, the three of them, Mark, walk into the kitchen. Lisa's sorting everything, like.
I love that line. I was like, I can't even remember I don't even remember what it was. Yeah, you're mixing
polyethylene with polyurethane.
Forge!
Love it. That's so good. Homer, like, sorry.
My next note was
Junior Achievers Club.
Now, again, stop me if I'm going too far. My next note was Principal Skinner. What a load of garbage for the recycling, whatever, that they're in.
You didn't skip much. Homer is, I thought it was a good gag of Homer. I know where there's lots of paper. And he's putting the books in. He's like, and then, like, Lee's like, you're not supposed to have fun recycling. He's like, oh, okay. Psst. Psst. You know, Homer's just already, I'm like, oh yeah, Homer's in this movie.
Wacky Homer, yeah.
Yeah. He's got his assassins on. Very good.
And then you have,
great line reading. What a load of garbage.
Brilliant. And, like, why would Burnsy ever agree to talk at a school, you know, like a recycling club?
Now, let's give a big Junior Achievers welcome to our guest speaker. I know he can teach us a lot about business, Mr. C. Montgomery Burns.
I'll keep it short and sweet. Family, religion, friendship. These are the three demons you must slay if you wish to succeed in business. When opportunity knocks, you don't want to be driving to the maternity hospital or sitting in some phony baloney church or synagogue. Questions?
Well, I'm going to take advantage of this rare opportunity, even if you children aren't interested. Which do you think is more important, hard work or stick-to-itiveness?
Are there any real questions?
Yes. Does your plant have a recycling program?
Recycling? I'm afraid I'm not familiar with that term, you adorable little ragamuffin.
This is a Schwarzwelder joke right here. The dictionary recycling. In his head. Recycling? And then it's like, the you know, ragamuffin, rutabaga, I can't remember what the other one is, and then he's like, I don't know what you're talking about, you adorable little ragamuffin, you.
Yeah,
you know, like,
clearly he was mentally looking through and he stumbled upon ragamuffin.
So good.
That's like, great. I always love the line, and I actually use it quite a lot at the end. He says, he's talking about Mother Nature. It's like, now she wants to quit because she's losing? Well, I say hard tough. Cheese.
Oh, yeah, hard cheese. Yeah.
I always say hard cheese.
And she's like, Lisa's like, she's not our enemy. He's like, surely you agree we could do without her? He's like, no, I don't. It's like, what? Like, so shocked, like, so upset. And, like, Smithers being like, how dare you question Mr. Burns?
I'll handle this. Shut up, little girl.
Yeah, it's such a good exchange. Like,
and then that's the second time, I think, in a row that they've used it. Like, Homer said last time, shut up, boy.
Yeah.
Like, there. And now Burns is like, shut up, little girl.
And the whole thing where it's like, I wouldn't be worth 200 million. It's like, actually, it says 100 million.
And actually, sir, it's considerably less than that.
I have to go.
Why would Smithers tell him in the middle of the meeting?
Yeah, it doesn't mean like, Monty Burns, everybody. Monty Burns. I like clapping. Like,
and what I love is like when Burns goes back to his office and he's talking to his legal team or whatever, his finance team. Just the terrified grins on all their faces, like, yes, sir, absolutely, right, sir, yeah.
He's like, Confederate slaving holders, how's that working?
It's steady.
Okay. And then when he's like, let's just get out the old stock ticker. Oh no. Like, again, such a funny image of like him looking at this piece of paper and like so much unfurled there since he hasn't checked it. And like, Smithers, what do you tell me about this market crash?
Yeah, what happened like whatever 25 years
before, before he was born? Like, what's your excuse for everything?
My next one is. My next one out is just when the kids at the club are at the recycling like center with the hippie. I don't know if I skipped that in there.
There's just a bit more of like Burns like, I'm going to turn this around.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what does he 50% say? 50% of my money into like, I can't even remember what, like it's all these weird stocks. And he's like, and put the rest into that up and coming Baltimore Opera Hat Company. That should set things right, eh, boys? And
yes, like, sir.
Yeah. And then they all have this face on. Like, but Smithers is just as bad. Like,
yeah, they're all just as well, as he says later. But like, they're all like, why don't they just say, actually? But, like,
Smithers is just so passive in this episode that he's just like, uh-huh, yeah. You know, like, he's as bad as him. And then, but he's still like, but you can come stay with me, even though I kind of got you into this mess.
Yeah, he'd love nothing more than for
this is what he wants to do. Get Burns at his weakest so he can have his way with him.
Exactly.
Oh my god, we figured it out, Andy.
He's trying to bring him down from the inside.
Yeah.
Literally. Too much?
Don't quite care for that.
Too crude?
Yeah. Crude oil.
Cheapest thing on the menu, please.
Yeah, that's you. Cheapest thing on the menu.
I use that all the time, and that's one of your like early 20s sayings.
Like pro evolution. score a goal in pro evolution. Cheapest thing on the menu. There was one when I would score. Like, it just seemed so easy. And you're like, how like a tap
in, like the keeper parries it, and you just
It was also be one like it's just like pass and just like step away from the defender. And you're like, why? Like, I know myself when I'd be playing with the defender, like, get to him, like, don't just let him step there. It's like you just put it by. You're 1-on-1 with the keeper, then straight away. You're like, well, that was so easy.
Do you know what I only realized about maybe 6 or 7 years ago playing football games? Why my defense was so wide open. Do you remember I used to always complain, like, where is everyone? You know? And you'd be 3-on-1 or something. And like, I realized that what I'm doing is I'm just selecting whatever defender is in front of you and just running at you, like, or two, like, on. And then, like, you just, like, a little, like, turn any direction and you're clear. And I'm like, okay. So what it's like, It took me so long to realize, no, get a midfielder and bring him, chase him with it. Leave the defenders where they are. And I tell you, like,
you didn't win a game last time, so you didn't score a goal.
Yeah, okay, yeah, fine. But that's just a one-off.
That was the drugs.
That was a blip.
That was the drugs, yeah.
That was a blip.
So all that whiskey.
Yeah, and such.
Yeah, whiskey and such. It's a good name for a shop.
Yeah. When they go to deposit all the or recycle all the paper, you get, I mean, I don't know what, a certain amount of cents.
Half ton of newspaper and all we get is 75 cents. That won't even cover the gas I use to go to the store to buy the twine to tie up the bundles.
That is such a great line.
So good.
I love that.
Sounds like you're working for your car. Simplify man. Uriah's Heap, though I mentioned earlier on, love the name.
Brilliant name.
Yeah, so good. their names.
They get them so
unparalleled
spot on.
With.
And
like,
to be fair, like, that's one thing that they've been fairly consistent with, even through the not so good episodes. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. Like
the names and the signs are always pretty funny.
The tobacco episode has one of the best signs where it's like, which Sneeds, Feed, and Seed.
Formerly Chucks.
Yeah.
Work
it out at home, folks.
Took me a lot. I think you had to explain that one to me. It took me a long time.
Yeah.
I just like the ones where it's like, you know, auditions here. Well, not here, inside. All these little like brackets that
something
they have.
That's like today, you know, church gospel choir tomorrow. Entertain yourselves, damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stuff like that. Like, I love as well, it was like, at least we did save enough paper to save a tree. Yeah. Like, Skinner's just so annoyed, like, reversed into the tree.
Now, my next note is to do with Bret Hart himself. Have I skipped too much here?
You've skipped the thing where it was like, basically the whole thing where they're foreclosing on the plant. He's like, I see it now. You're all a bunch of yes men. I was making the wrong move. You were too gutless to tell me. Isn't that right? And they're like, oh, yes, sir. Right on. And like, Smithers even joins in. You're right, sir. And then he's like saying he wants to take out a mortgage on the plant. But Skinner has informed, or Smithers informed, that he's already foreclosed on the plant. And
there's, when was he going to tell him this? Like,
and also, like, he has a mortgage?
No. Yeah.
Surely he owns the house, like.
Yeah, surely he's whatever, a billionaire.
I mean, you need it for the story progression, but yeah.
Sure, hope someone got fired for that blunder.
But then you get Bret Hart.
And yeah.
Ew, this place got old man stink.
Why would I want a picture of a pitiful pencil neck geek?
Pretty good.
Thank you. Why indeed.
The shrieking sheik lives down the block.
I do remember thinking at the time how cool it was that Bret Hart was in it. You know, even though it was like 98, and you
it's
know.
A big thing though, like that, like they picked him, I guess.
Yeah, and in 98 as well, like he wouldn't have been like top of the heap by then, would he?
Well, he left WWE in November 97. He was their champion at that point. Yeah. You know, like, so
famously,
big money move to WCW. That didn't work out from.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Oh, God.
That just makes me, like, so, like. That's one
family.
Of the things that makes
poor
me
family,
sad.
Family, like.
Yeah. And, like, Owen, when he talks about WCW as, like, the next. Yeah, Jesus. The next night he realized what a. You know, the first time he went on the show, like, they had nothing for him as well. They didn't have any plan.
Yeah.
But, anyway.
But it's also, like, what else could he have done? Vince is like, I'm not honoring your contract, you know?
I suppose, yeah. It's just a shame the way it all happened, because he left in such high, like.
Like, if he. Yeah, he was in the hottest angle in wrestling at the time. Like, that whole Canada versus
USA.
DX or whatever, like that. Like, and
he
goes.
And after that, like, screw job thing, there was probably enough heat for him to. You know, for them to work out,
they could have worked it out to stay. I never could have.
Probably not. Yeah.
But like, imagine if it hadn't gone down that way, and what WrestleMania would have looked like that year.
Yeah.
Instead of it being Austin Michaels, if it had been Austin Bret for the title, a rematch from the year before at WrestleMania, like.
Yeah. Oh baby.
Be still, my heart.
My next note is. Attention, everybody. Work harder. Bye.
Yeah, I mean,
the stretch and the crack of the bones.
When he's like, Marge, like, you didn't tell me Mr. Burns went broke and lost the nuclear power plant. It's like, I can't remember everything that happens. You talking about that candy bar you found 3 times.
You found a candy bar?
Oh, yes. Gather around, my son. I shall tell you a tale. And then, you know, that whole thing. He's like, what's going to happen to the plant? Now they put Lenny in charge.
I love that.
Great joke.
Like, he's so happy with himself. Like, work harder. Bye.
Yeah. And the whole thing, then the next line pretty much is, I have to go to work. Lenny's a real bear on tardiness. And Burns trying to help out with the, like, the fire poker thing, whatever, the tongs, trying to put
the plates. let me do that, sir.
You just stay here and maintain your dignity.
The line I have where he's like, grocery store, please. Where he
grocery store, please.
That's my dad, that is.
Yeah.
My dad famously, as we always slag him about, got on a bus about like 10 years ago and like said the name of the place he was going, which is fine. Like, you know,
I say that all the time.
The driver could tell you what street it's on. But he gave him like a €5 note. And he's like, I can't give you change for that. And my dad's like, what? And all this time my dad stormed off.
Coinage.
And I was saying to my dad at the time, I was like, yeah, you can't give notes. They've nowhere to
Tony
put the notes.
McGregor, is that your dad, is it?
He wasn't going to ruin a perfectly good suit with coinage.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, and then like when he's looking through like the cereals, I just love the line. He's looking at Krusty O's and he sees like Krusty and he's like, could you tell me where I might find the Burnzos? Sorry, Pops, they don't put nobodies on cereal boxes.
Yeah.
And when he gets the like chocolate one, he's like, I suppose this looks a bit like me.
He gets stuck in the milk compartment.
Like, yeah, that.
Thank you, Shoppy. I ventured in for some milk when the door snapped shut behind me.
They're death traps.
Yeah, and then he's like, ketchup, catsup. Now, I'm not a ketchup. I'm not a ketchupsman, but...
You're not, are you?
No.
You're a brown sauceman at heart. An H-Orman.
Y-Or. H-P.
H-R?
Oh, H-R is human resources.
Oh, yeah.
Which I'm sure you've found yourself in front of, judging by your Twitter rant.
It's because I've got such a reputation of being a awkward prick in work, so completely unfounded, to be honest.
Did you just call me an awkward prick?
Don't turn your back on me.
This is Andy's tour.
Oh, brilliant.
So they have him committed.
My next note is, in what world can they just essentially abduct an old man and force him into a home? Like the grocery store, whatever, signed off on your papers. Like, oh, okay.
Are you here to solve my ketchup problem?
Like,
relax. You've gone off your nut. So we're stuffing you in an old folks home.
Yeah.
That sums it up exactly. Like,
pretty much. And I love when he's talking.
Shopping.
He's talking to Abe then. He's like, going through all the places. Like, we're not allowed in there. That's the library. Not allowed in there either.
Yeah.
He's like, good God, man, what do you do to pass the time?
Best bet is to stake her out a good spot at the staring window.
And as well, like, the whole thing of the nursing home, like, the line dancing guy, and like...
Come on, what? Mr. Burns, join the fun!
Burns just, like, the scowl.
That's the spirit. That shrill, disagreeable voice, it's her!
Yeah, so Lisa's there giving out this, like, what do you mean you don't have whatever? Like, fuck off.
Yeah.
She's
like, that's the kind of moxie I'm looking for. You're hired. No, I'm not hired.
And that montage is obviously from something where he's like chasing her.
That girl is, you know, and they did one on Family Guy as well.
He's
that guy.
Is that a movie? Like,
it's a TV show.
Okay.
I don't know who's in it. But it's definitely a TV show. I believe. One of those ones. It'd be kind of like something like Laverne and Shirley or something that we definitely would have missed out on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's seen before our time.
Yes.
I liked the line where Burns rings at the Simpson house and he's like, sir, we've never met before.
I love it. Like,
like, just that simple little, like, anyone who's not a fan of the show would overlook that line.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Who isn't familiar with previous, but the fact that it's just dropped in there.
Yeah. And he's like, you mean
that's
Maggie?
Not even the joke. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, oh no, the baby who shot me. No, you're not the child. Like Maggie.
Brilliant.
Like,
that's actually a great one. Yeah. And like, so he's begging Lisa to...
I love Homer's being like, so, how's life in the gutter? Just while they're waiting, like...
And, like, so he's, like, essentially begging her, and, like, he's making, like, Lisa, like, an offer, was it, like, 10%?
Well, it's like, she agrees to help him. Excuse me. But only if he did something by doing socially responsible things. Nothing evil. Nothing evil. That's exactly the kind of radical thinking I need.
And then, like, I love the, like, Homer and Bart. He's like, why aren't you making any business deals? He's like, I'll do it this afternoon.
Loved it as a kid. Didn't like it as much this time.
You know what? I've come back around on it. Because it's such a whine.
Yeah.
That, like, I don't know what it is, but it did get a laugh.
You're very light on Bart in this episode.
It is, isn't it?
You know, it's okay. I guess if it's a Lisa one. This here where she's like, you mean people will pay good money for garbage? She's like, not good money. Each can will get you a nickel. Like, oh, don't poo-poo a nickel, Lisa. A nickel will buy you a steak and kidney pie, a cup of coffee, a slice of cheesecake, and a newsreel. with enough change to left over to ride the trolley from Battery Park to the Polo Grounds. So there's a can.
But you know what, though? There's something I love about that scene that Burns even like painted of what you get with Nicola. Like, that does seem like a good day.
Yeah, absolutely.
I loved, like, my next note was just Burns on the news, like, looking totally insane as he's rifling through garbage. And, like, Kent Brockman, of course, is always happy to get a little dig in where he's like, it's like, well, best of luck, you smell terrible. Whatever the line is.
Like, just to go back to before that, where it was like, they have our first dollar, and they set up the whole 10% thing.
Yeah.
He gives a 10%. She's like, I'm not doing this for the money. I'm just happy knowing the future generations will enjoy unspoiled median strips and pristine highway embankments. And then he's just like,
there's a can.
Yeah, very good. Very good writing.
My favorite bit in the whole episode comes
Marge.
Up. Yeah.
So good.
Fucking Marge knocking it out of the park again.
Wow. He went from stinking rich to just plain stinking.
And they all start laughing, and even Homer's like, you're so bad, honey.
Lisa's like, he's different.
He's changed.
Now. Yeah, he's broke.
Two in a row.
Yeah, love it. It's just like, I love seeing them all. Like,
that is so fun. I don't know why. I just love that scene so much.
And the fact that it's Marge as well.
Yeah.
It's just.
Wow, that's been the biggest revelation to me.
Marge?
Yeah, since these rewatches, is just how much I didn't rate Marge until this time around.
I mean, I remember putting it up when it was like who's your most underrated Simpsons character?
Yeah.
Early doors. And
thinking, I remember,
it was like Marge with the potato. Like,
yeah.
I just think they're neat.
She's great.
Yeah.
And then, like, Lisa's like, see, I told you Mr. Burns had changed. See?
Mm-hmm.
Marge is like, Lisa, nobody likes a gloater. Right, homie? Huh?
See?
Oh, very good.
So then it's, you know, he has his company that is, you know, his employees are all old folks home guys. Mm. And then it's like all of a sudden he has the recycling plant.
Yeah, like, just like very, that.
Yeah, you know.
Massive building. Like,
They just really skip to it. Like, the little Lisa recycling plant. Like, oh, ain't that cute? Makes little Debbie look like a pile of puke.
And I just like, yeah, he's shown Lisa like around the plant. Even the clothes he's wearing are like a bit more like, you know, environmentalist.
Yeah, they look it.
And you have Barney.
This is my favorite joke. Like, hey, I thought I told you to stop licking my windows. I know you told me, but when I woke up this morning, I said, Barney, you're not going to lick that. It's like the clothes. But then he's like, you see his hands pressed back up against the wall.
He goes back to
it. Like,
when he finally shows, like, I just love that whole idea where he's
the Burns
like,
Omni-Net.
Yeah, it sweeps the sea clean.
Fucking hell. Like,
fucking, like, blue whales on it and everything.
Little Lisa patented animal slurry. High protein feed for farm animals, insulation for low income housing, and a powerful explosive and a top knot engine coolant. It's all made from 100% recycled animals.
I love how, like, you know,
he can't wrap his head around how it's bad. Like,
yeah, and then, but even in her world, like, you see, like, the scene itself gets like darker. There's more shadows or whatever, you know, in the animation. Just gets a bit more like sinister when she realizes.
And that whole like engines need coolant. I don't understand. You know, like.
And then when
you get like the horror movie, scene,
like, but you told us to recycle.
Yeah, you said it was good, and like her just falling off the thing, like and like the camera zooming away. You're like, what? It's like Invasion of the Body Snatchers or something like that. Like,
my next bit is really when Burns makes all that money and offers it to Lisa, but I don't know if I'm skipping something.
No, it's right at it, because she's like, I can't get the smell of slurry out of my clothes, and then they show up, Burns and Smithers.
Could she turn down that money? I mean, give it to an environmentalist charity or something. If you have to.
120 like, million.
12 million. Yeah, so $12 million.
Yeah.
Jesus, like, keep a million.
yeah.
and give 11 million to charity.
I can't take it knowing where it came from. Can I, Mom?
Would you rather yes. he had it?
Yes, yeah. 100%, Lisa. Take the money. We'll do some good with it. Like,
yeah. It's like, whatever bad you think. No. Yeah, we'll take the money and we'll set our, and we'll just make sure that everything's in order. And he won't have it, but it'll go to better use.
Poor Homer, like.
That's the first time I've seen someone suffer four simultaneous heart attacks.
I love that. I was like, you could have used that $12,000. Don't tell him. Don't tell him. You know, like,
fucking Lisa.
Are you trying to kill your father?
Coker. Yeah.
There's something going on here. She's.
And that ends the episode.
Widow. Yes. That ends the episode. Good end to the episode. Code Blue. Code Blue.
Now, shall we get into ratings, Terry?
Please.
We want you to tell us what you think and be honest, because no one from the show is here spying on you.
What's the score in this? 2-2.
The king.
I tell you, he is the king.
Is he?
What a guy.
Is he?
Yeah, he is. He's the ultimate professional. He's like a Ronaldo. Looks after himself. Does the right things.
Spare me. You're a long way from comparing him to Ronaldo.
I agree, but you know, I think he'll be playing well when he's 36, just like Ronaldo.
No.
Can I tell you, how about that, Ronaldo, eh? Some might say it was all a ruse, me falling to bottom of the league so I could swoop in and get Ronaldo. And I tell you, I was delighted. Delighted.
Ah, whatever. It's only fantasy football.
Oh, here we go. And starting already, eh?
Yeah, I mean, 3 weeks in, I'm getting my exit strategy.
Listen, what did you think of it?
I liked it. Some very good parts. Burns heavy episode is always good.
Yeah,
a bit funny though, like in both ways, funny but also like weird episode.
Yeah,
you know, I'm not really sure if it was completely successful.
Yeah,
kind of feels a bit. The whole exercise felt a bit pointless.
Yeah.
To me,
I
don't
really
know.
Go anywhere.
Yeah, it starts right back where it, at, you know, restores the status quo, which is what it's supposed to do. But like, I don't know if it's really saying anything. That's the weirdest thing.
Yeah,
you know, like,
there's not really a message. Like,
there's funny bits in it, like, but like they said in the book, it's an odd episode. Like,
yeah, it is a bit.
Yeah, I don't like. I said, I'm not so sure if it's completely successful, but a lot of funny stuff with Burns, you know, I think before he kind of hooks up with Lisa is funnier.
Yeah.
That whole bit with him, I guess I just like hearing him talk his old timey talk. You know what I mean? Like that kind of stuff really tickles me. But there wasn't enough meat on the bone, I think. For the episode,
yeah,
I don't know if you would like. There's no real B plot.
There's not really, is there?
I don't know if it would have maybe benefited from one. And normally, I'd be like, one plot is a good thing. But
I do agree. This could have. I mean, you have Homer and Bart kind of just sitting there. Like they could have thrown something little 5 minute story, spread it out through the episode, and just give them. Something, some little, I don't know, some other little recycling scam or
something,
you know.
Like that. Like the fact that they're like, oh, they kind of touched on it with Homer drinking the cans.
Yeah, you could have Homer,
you know, he's beer. Doing a heist from Moe's or something like that, like to fucking, you know, get the big, kind of like the grease one that would come.
Yeah.
But do it for recycling from bottles or whatever.
100%. I like that idea.
Something like that. I don't know, Schwartzwelder. You tell me.
You're the writer here. Hey, now I'm doing your job.
Hey, Oakley. Get on to him.
I'll call Bill. I'll call our pal Bill.
This script from 24 years ago.
Stinks. well, yeah. I mean, I do think... I'm not going to say the classic. I agree with everything you said.
You help me out here.
Okay. I thought it was an okay episode.
Yeah.
I thought there wasn't. I didn't find myself laughing, bar maybe the Marge zingers. I don't.
There
think
wasn't a lot of laugh out loud moments, but yeah. A lot of like smiling.
Like I get it. They're going for like the super evil versus the super, you know, good,
and how they're
teaming up and how that dynamic works. I just didn't. Yeah, like you said, could have either done with a side plot or like a mission, not a mission, but like a final sort of message.
You know what? You know. Something at the plant while Burns was gone, even like, you know.
Yeah, more stuff with that. That could have even been like the side plot of like Lenny's. Yeah. Like, show me more Lenny as boss. Like,
put Homer in charge. Why not? Like, instead of Lenny. Yeah.
So they had stuff there. But let me ask you for your MVP.
Burns is going to be my MVP just for his
same
delicious use of the English language. Now, I'm going to give it a rating of 8.3.
Oh, scathing. Terry, I'm going to give it an 8.2.
Okay.
I don't think it was better than the Canine Mutiny from last week, which is what I gave an 8.2. So I'm going to match it at least.
What did I give? That was 8.5 or something?
Yeah, how do you remember that? How do you remember that? What did you give Grey Skull Confidential the week before?
9?
It was an 8.8. Okay, fine. Okay. But how do you even remember the last one from like 3 weeks ago?
I just had it in my head.
Okay. I've already forgotten what my one was this week.
Who are you? What are we doing here?
That's how flimsy my grasp, my memory is. But
my grasp on reality is becoming.
Yes, you said it, friend. Can we get into...
Pretty okay, Andy?
Not here. Can we get into ratings? No.
Sure.
No.
Plugs.
No.
Plugs. Hair plugs.
See? I'm hair losing plugs. It.
Hair plugs. I think I hate them. Those hair plugs.
You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Put It In H Podcast. You can find links to everything we do there, particularly on Instagram, where you can, if you click on the link in our bio, you find some video podcasts, you find some merch, you find our Bill Oakley interview and our latest episode and the Patreon.
Oh, the Patreon. Well, for the low fee of $5 a month, €450, and we don't know what it is in sterling.
Frankly, we don't want to know.
There it is. You get access to 4 extra episodes a month. So you get 2 from our sister podcast What's So Great About, and you get 2 kind of bonus episodes. Now that would be the normal turn of events, but at the moment we're doing a mini series for What's So Great About on Will Smith, and guess what, folks, you're just gonna get like a month full of Will Smith episodes.
Yeah, we're churning them out.
Yeah.
So the next few weeks on the Patreon is going to be What's So Great About Will Smith. Now we're doing the Will Smith, we're doing the Big Willy Flops.
Hello.
If you'll allow me.
Oh, Andy. So we're basically saying we're both we know what's so great about Will Smith. We do. Yeah. But we want to see, is he good enough to elevate his so-called bad movies? Now, I haven't seen a lot of these bad movies, and they're more of his recent stuff, really.
Pretty much.
Yeah. But I'm interested to dive into this topic and see, is his charisma, his star power enough to kind of get you through a subpar film?
You know?
So the first one on the chopping block is After Earth.
The infamous After Earth. And I'm very quick to defend Will Smith, I will say. So, like, I'm definitely going to be on Team Big Will.
I'm just an Arctic explorer, Andy, trying to find signs of life.
Okay.
You know, I'm ready to investigate.
But we have fun on the Patreon.
Yeah, and then, you know, normally we'd have a bunch of other episodes that are top 5 episodes. You know, we've done top 5 Beatles, top 5 TV characters, top 5... performances and movies, you know, there's a bunch of stuff there.
Do you know we've got, I looked it up, or I looked on the Patreon the other day, we've got 40 bonus episodes, as in not What's So Great About. So we have What's 80? So Great About Marvel, which is like 29 episodes. We've got What's So Great About Gosling, which is 8. What's So Great About 90s movies, that's seven. About 7 movies.
Yeah, seven.
And we've got about 40 random, like a lot of them are like top 5, this or that. You really get to know us a bit better on the Patreon.
It's close to 100 eps there for, yeah. And you know what? If you pay your €5, you get access to all of them, not just mm-hmm. the latest ones. You can go uh-huh. through that whole archive and listen to these two
schlubs.
Yeah, schlubs is good. Yeah, frog is wrong.
Frog
now,
is wrong.
If you can't afford the Patreon, well. Guys, I understand times are tough. Pandemic, endemic, whatever you want to call it. COVID. Fine. Sure. You said it, not me. You can do something else for me.
Yeah.
You can give me a rating and review. Now, Andy, Mr. Burns sold his little Lisa recycling line for $120 million. Okay. I know what you're thinking. Terry, you're crazy. I can't give you a 120 million star review. You're right. I don't even want a 12 million star review. You know what I want a review of? I want a 5-star review.
Yeah.
I gave you 2. I gave you 2 there.
I'll tell you what I love about that bit.
I love the fact
that you cut yourself off when you're like, it's like, now, it's like, if you can't do that, you can give us a review now. You know? It's always like, now. Let me just interrupt what I was saying earlier.
I'm transitioning into bit mode.
Terry 1, Terry 2, zero. But yes, what he said.
5-star review really helps put the podcast on the map and, you know, helps us grow, get new listeners. Get new patrons, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's what it's all about, really.
That's really what it's about. Like,
thanks to some of the new patrons who signed up this month, by the way. Welcome.
Oh,
welcome.
You're very welcome. And before we sign off, we have an announcement to make.
Big announcement. Big news, actually.
Big news. So we're coming to the end of season 8 of The Simpsons, and how will we put this? We found this season to be our most perplexing. I don't want to say challenging. It was
it's been a fun season, but it's been
odd.
Since we started, it's kind of gone in order. You know what I mean? 4 was good, 5 was better, 6 was, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's kind of, I can see the peak. I can see the peak behind me.
Mm. We're kind of running out of road here. I think we probably have maybe like one more good season
mm-hmm.
before we start getting into episodes that we don't really want to be talking about. And we want to be talking about stuff that we like talking about. We're not a bad movie TV podcast here. As fun as they can be to listen to, I don't know if I want to be spending my time doing that.
Yeah, you know what it is? It's kind of... I'm basically going to say we're going to
after the end of season eight we're going to take a break from
The Simpsons,
okay? And what we're going to do is we're going to swap the What's So Great About over to the main feed, and we have a big, interesting, in my opinion, an interesting mini series to kick off that relaunch or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. There, so you know. Stay tuned if you like hearing these two voices talk. But it's not to say we won't ever be doing Simpsons again.
Yeah, what I find my take on it is, you know, I have, like, I'm just judging it as well by like how much fun I have on the podcast, and I have more fun probably. Like we both love The Simpsons. I love The Simpsons. But at the moment, I feel like there's a load of other things. Like, you can hear how excited we get when we talk about wrestling or movies or football or whatever. You know what I mean? And I just feel like there's so much out there that I'd love for us to be talking about. So I think, like, even the What's So Great About, I absolutely love doing those. And I just think it'd be a good time when we're kind of, like Terry said, running out of road in The Simpsons, just to put a little pin in it for the minute. And do the old switcheroo. Now, what that means, I was doing your thing. Now, What that means is that the What's So Great About is coming off the Patreon. Well, it'll still be on the Patreon, but it'll be moving up to the main feed, which frees up two new spots on the Patreon. So you're essentially getting some new shows. We have a lot of really just fun things, basically, for us that we want to do on the Patreon. So this frees up a load of space on the Patreon for us to add some new shows and new ideas and stuff like that. So I'm very excited.
We've been talking, kicking about the idea of doing some commentaries, the more commentaries. Also, we talked about doing script reads with our patrons there. You know,
that we also like to do the occasional radio shows as well.
Oh, yes, you know, yes, very much looking forward to that. Like
playing our tunes and all that stuff.
So we're excited. We're excited for this, to be honest, and I hope you guys out there that are listening are excited as well. If you're just here for the Simpsons content, well, I'll miss you.
Well, that's a luck.
Yeah.
I feel like, and you know what, like we sort of talked about it a bit earlier in the season, and I've been dying to say it, to be honest, because it just, like, I feel like we may lose some listeners, because we do have some listeners who, like, do really like the Simpsons part. But to be honest, like, we've done a few polls, and we've, you know, like, I remember I put a thing up on Instagram a couple of months ago, like, do you like the Simpsons stuff or the non-Simpsons stuff? And in reality, at the moment, I prefer talking about the non-Simpsons stuff. Like, the Patreon is all other stuff as well. I feel like we'll have more fun, and the podcast will be better if we're enjoying what we're talking about more.
A lot of the feedback we've gotten recently has been talk more about, get the preamble going for longer than the Simpsons stuff, really, which has kind of helped us come to this decision as well. Not like people out there listening who enjoy the podcast enjoy our back and forth?
Back and forth.
Yeah.
Chemistry.
It is chemistry.
So essentially what that means for you is nothing. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to change. You don't have to follow a new RSS feed podcast. We're just going to switch it over ourselves. So you're already subscribed to us. You still have all the old Simpsons stuff there. And like we said, we are going to come back to it at some stage. But we just have a lot of fun talking about other stuff right now. So that's where we're going.
So if you made it this far, well, thank you. You're doing the Lord's work as always, and I like you.
Hey, I love you.
There you go. If you sign up for the Patreon, you get the big L from me.
And folks, it's great.
It's great.
Really, really great.
Oh, look, it's just another bonus you get from paying me that sweet $5.
He's got a Zelda game to buy, people.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. Come on. I have a whole collection of Wii games I need to buy.
Help me out here.
Not even help Wii, Switch. Help you. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, on that note, I'm out of here, Terry. Folks,
goodbye. Thank you.